Welcome to Rhode Island Avenue Radio, where we'll talk about news, education, and opportunities for small businesses on the Rhode Island Avenue Main Street and in Washington, D.C. I'm Michelle Yancey.
And I'm Kyle Todd. Welcome to Rhode Island Avenue Radio.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of Rhode Island Avenue Radio. Michelle is not here today. I'm doing this by myself. So apologies if I did not have enough caffeine to make myself interesting. But we've got some very interesting guests today, so that's really all that matters. Want to start off the show by thanking our sponsors, the Department of Small and Local Business Development, the Department of Housing and Community Development, and the Local Initiative Support Corporation, LISC, for their grant dollars that help us produce products like Rhode Island Avenue Radio in helping to expand Rhode Island Avenue Main Street. If you or your business is interested in becoming one of our sponsoring partners for Rhode Island Avenue Radio or Rhode Island Avenue Main Street, please give me drop me a line, kyle@riamainstreet.org. That's kyle@riamainstreet.org. Or give me a call at 202-808-9050. Some very quick announcements. We have our second annual meeting coming up on Wednesday, May 11th from 7 to 9 p.m. That will be at the Rhode Island Row community room at the Rhode Island Row Apartments. The same place we had it last year. We can promise you lots of good food. That will be our opportunity to congratulate and thank our volunteers and recognize our sponsors and all of the folks that have been involved with Rhode Island Avenue Main Street for the last year. Talk just briefly about the things that we have accomplished in the last year, and of course the things that we want to continue to work on in the future. So go ahead and head over to the website, click on the Eventbrite link to sign up and get your ticket. It is free to attend. So no excuses, just plan on being there. All right, so that's enough of those announcements this morning. So our guest today is Danita Dolman from the SEAS Community Partners Organization. Welcome, Danita.
Thank you, Kyle. Good morning.
Good morning. So a lot of businesses out on Rhode Island Avenue and probably throughout the city know you, Danita, because you have been the Great Streets Grant guru. You've got, 20 successful Great Streets Grant applications?
20 successful businesses have received grants.
That's fantastic. Yes. That's a great track record.
Yes. Excited about that.
Yeah, some of the Great Streets team was just out visiting Rhode Island Avenue yesterday, and I mentioned that you were going to be coming on the show today, and Ms. Cook was very, very, my brain just went dead on the word that I'm looking for, but she was very appreciative of the quality of the work that you've done with businesses.
So yes, yes, thank
she,
you.
She knew exactly who you were.
Yes, absolutely.
And you've got more than 25 years of experience in technology and business development.
Yes.
You have launched new business initiatives, you developed outreach programs, marketing. You've just been up to your elbows and more
up to my elbows and ears.
Elbows and ears in small business development. That's fantastic. And this is exactly the type of thing that we want to bring to more of to Rhode Island Avenue. We've got so many great businesses, longtime businesses that have been here, plus new businesses that are coming in right and left. We want to make sure that everybody gets off on the right foot, or if they need some help readjusting their marketing strategies or making good use of access to grants like Great Streets.
Yes, yes.
So thank you for the work that you do.
Absolutely, absolutely. A pleasure.
So I specifically wanted to talk to you about Great Streets grants.
Okay.
They are, to many businesses, a great mystery.
Yes, yes.
Great Streets, great mystery. So For those of you who are not familiar with the Great Streets Grants, those are grants offered by the Deputy Mayor for Planning and Economic Development. There are how many Great Streets in D.C.? There's
13.
13 Great Streets, and Rhode Island Avenue is one of them. It's a locally designated thing here in D.C. It's also, what, Connecticut Avenue, Georgia?
Georgia.
MLK.
MLK, Pennsylvania Avenue, Nantahala Boroughs, 7th Street, Kennedy Street, Wisconsin. Wisconsin or
Connecticut?
Yeah,
no, you're going to have a pop quiz.
Shaw, let's see, some parts of Good Hope Road.
Yeah.
Just various, Bladensburg, Benning Road, H Street, of course.
Because mm-hmm. H Street is everything. So the Great Streets Grants, The amount of them varies each grant cycle.
Yes.
When they first started out, they were, what,
$85,000? Yes,
$85,000 initially. Their last round was
$50,000. Last was
$50,000. And they're for a variety of things. So you can use them for capital improvements, large equipment purchases. I think this last round, they opened up the eligible projects to include consulting.
Consulting, business consulting services, small equipment like espresso machines, furniture, social media and website development. It covered, that was really nice.
Yeah.
Because a lot of businesses need, you know, that presence.
Yes.
And so that was really good for them to expand the grant opportunity.
And they also changed a few things around as far as how the actual grants work. In the past, well, it remains a reimbursable grant.
Yes, it is a reimbursable grant.
So you spend the money first, submit the invoices, and then they reimburse you once, of course, you've been approved for the grant.
Right.
But they changed it up a little bit this last cycle to give in advance up to, I believe, 25%.
25%, yes.
Up front. So... So businesses have a little working capital, and that is phenomenal because when they first started, you know, the businesses that needed it most didn't have money or else they would have just done the work themselves.
Exactly.
So I don't know if you experienced this in your work with businesses, but here on Rhode Island Avenue, we had several businesses that got the grants and they could only afford to do small bits of work at a time and then wait for the reimbursement, which was not, I'm sorry, DMPED, it was not speedy.
You're right.
and they would lose their contractor while they were waiting for the for the money to come back because contractors still got to eat too.
Exactly.
So I'm really glad that they've adapted this.
Yes.
You expect to see that continue?
I do expect that to continue, and I expect maybe some improvements in that area in terms of reimbursement. They're toying around different scenarios, so kind of stay tuned.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I've, you know, my experience with the businesses kind of, you know, shared that with the grants office.
When do you think they might have their next round out? They just made awards for the most recent round.
Yes. I've been hearing that it's going to be midsummer.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Good to know. So, with your over 20 successful grant applications, you've obviously learned a few tricks of the trade.
Yes.
And you know the process.
Exactly.
Walk us through, for businesses that are listening in that may be interested in this, walk us through the process of the application. I mean, we've only got, half an hour or so,
right.
but, you know.
Absolutely.
What you start off with saying, here's how I want to use this money.
Yes.
And, oh, look, there's an application form.
Right.
Walk us through the process from there.
Well, before you say, I want to apply for this, you have to make sure that you're compliant with some of the big things, of course, is to be current with your tax filings and returns and sales tax and all of those things. You have to ensure that you're compliant in those areas with tax and revenue and consumer regulatory affairs. You have to ensure that your lease has at least 2 years left on there. And make
you have a lease.
Yes, you have a lease. Exactly.
Or a deed of ownership, right?
Yes, or ownership. And you have to ensure that you have an adequate license, because some businesses have wanted to proceed and their license, there are issues with their business license. Mm-hmm. So once we can determine those three things, then we can move forward with, you know, your contractor, ensuring adequate insurance. Some businesses don't even have insurance. And so...
And this is like a liability insurance.
And liability insurance, yes. And then if you have employees, and of course, those proper insurances, you know, for your employees. You have to have a lease. I'm sorry, a resume to prove that you know how to do what you say you do. And then there's a series of forms that you have to sign. And then the whole premise to this Great Street Grant is... Are you going to create new jobs, full-time jobs, part-time jobs, and then how are you going to use the money and how are you going to use it the right way? Mm-hmm. And what the impact is, because the whole thing with Great Streets is to bring daytime traffic to that corridor. And so how do you propose to do that? And how will it, you know, benefit the community? And, just folks coming to that area. Yeah. And so that's what it's all about.
So you made that all sound very easy, but we know it's not.
It's not.
Which is why your company, Seas Community Partners, does this work. Because it's just not that easy, especially you know, one of the components that I believe I understand that is required is financials, you know, a business pro forma, and not very few businesses know that is even a thing, much less how to make one happen.
Exactly.
So again, for the benefit of our listeners, what is a business pro forma and what should it have? What critical information does it have?
Well, one of the things that they are looking for are financial projections for a three-year period. If you're a new business, then that's going to be in your business plan. And so if you're a new business, then you have to submit your business plan. If you're an existing business, your accountant should be able to pull those financials, the state of your business over a three-year period, previous or projected. And so, and it's a good exercise for the business because it, you know, lets them see where they are and kind of where they want to aspire to be a period of time.
Yeah. If you don't know what your money looks like, then wow, how can you even begin to grow?
Exactly. Why are you in business?
Yeah. So many of the businesses that we've tried to help, have had challenges, you know, with the licensing, Maybe business license regulations changed and they didn't get the proverbial memo. Maybe they're behind on their taxes. Do you help rectify any of those situations, or do you give them advice? If you run across a business that is in that position and you know that they could benefit from one of these Great Streets grants, what is your approach with them on that?
I try to assist them, and so this, if there's time, we can kind of go through a pre-qualification stage and say, okay, where are you in these three major areas, and so I can direct them. Okay, go see this person or that person or this department, and if they can get a clean hands, then we're good to go. If not, then a lot of times businesses don't even know that they are delinquent with some of the filings until they go get that clean hands. Yeah. And I said, well, you know, you have to get it. And then the nice thing, you have to maintain it throughout the entire grant process once you are approved. So getting those two documents, certificate of good standing and clean hands, are really key. And we can sit down and kind of talk about, you know, what the situation is, and I can kind of help coach them through where, what, when's, and how's.
So if a business is thinking about this, they want to go ahead and start getting their ducks in a row, which they should.
Absolutely.
Regardless of whether or not a Great Streets grant cycle is coming out, or regardless of if they're actually going to be going after a Great Streets grant, they should do these things.
Yes.
And make sure they're good. But specifically for the grants, they're thinking, next cycle might be coming up this summer. Should I start going ahead and getting this information now?
Absolutely. I'm working with several businesses now that are trying to get ahead, and I'm looking at those documents. In some instances, when there's some license or they want to expand in a certain area, then you need to get a different type of business license. And so we're kind of working through some of those things with some businesses now to get them ready for the summer. And so it's good, you know, with the tax season and, you know, if there's any liabilities, they can, you know, kind of clear those things up, you know, before the summer.
All right. So let's think of a list of things to have here. So the Clean Hand Certificate.
Yes.
And that is from OTR, Office of Tax and Revenue, or is that DCRA?
DCRA.
So Department of Consumer Regulatory Affairs. That shows that you are current on your business licensing.
Yes.
The Certificate of Good Standing.
Good Standing.
That's from Office of Tax and Revenue.
Yes.
To make sure that you have paid all of your relevant business taxes.
Yes.
What else?
We need to ensure that there is a lease or a deed.
A lease or a deed. If it's a lease, at least 3 years.
2 years
left.
2 years
remaining on the lease.
Yes. And with the lease, you have to ensure that your landlord will approve, because they have to sign off that it's okay for you to do any kind of infrastructure changes.
Ah, thank you for mentioning that. Yep. The landlord, if you are leasing a property, the landlord has to be okay with that.
Yes.
And really, when are they not?
Right,
exactly. Because it's improving their property.
Exactly, exactly.
But still, you never know. And so we've gotten the lease, the Certificate of Good Standing, the Clean Hand Certificate. What's next?
Your business license, the appropriate license for your business.
Certificate of occupancy?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Not for this one.
All right. And the financials?
Financials, resumes. I've had to create resumes for people. Some people have never had a resume. They've just owned this business for 100 years. No resume.
What about, you know, you mentioned earlier the impact both on staffing and projected revenue.
Projected revenue. And the other big thing is businesses don't think they need liability insurance, but they do.
Everybody needs liability insurance.
Yes.
This day and age.
Yes.
Okay, so the next step after they get all this together, and you've kind of worked with them to kind of pre-qualify, make sure everything looks good to even get started.
Yes.
Then they start getting quotes from contractors.
Yes, they have to get quotes from contractors. And the nice thing about this is the city prefers that they, first and foremost, use CBE, Certified Business Enterprise, and or DC license contractors. And if one doesn't exist for anything that they're trying to do, then it's okay to use someone on the outside. But we want to keep those dollars in the city.
All right. Absolutely. And then it's submitted, and then we wait.
And then we wait.
And we wait. and wait. No, they're I know they're doing their best to get through there. I know that that they get a lot of applications.
A lot of applications, yeah. Yes.
So what are some of the biggest mistakes that you've seen in applications that, I mean, you don't have to name names or anything, but things that you know that if the Great Streets reviewers see that, they're going to go, nope, not going to happen. What are some of the biggest no-nos?
Not following directions. That's the no-no.
So simple,
if it says,
right?
If you need to have two of this and three of this, then have two of this and three of that.
Yeah.
You know, and answer their questions and be very specific and detailed. Mm-hmm. And make sure your numbers, you know, add up and they match and they make sense.
You're just not making stuff up.
make sure it's not $1 million. Right. Your friend that's creating this estimate for you.
Yeah.
Let's just, you know, follow the rules.
Yeah. In any grant writing, there's always the narrative portion.
Yes.
And so in addition to making sure that you've got the checklist completed and everything that they ask for, the narrative always seems to be one of the sticking points. Anytime I've reviewed a grant, you know, I know that if I see a compelling narrative, in addition to having all the things, if they're doing a good job of explaining why they need the grant, what they're going to do with it, and what the impact is going to be, and not just in the necessarily a bullet list, but a really compelling narrative.
Exactly. It's telling a story.
Exactly. And in addition to wrangling that checklist, I see writing that narrative as one of the most important parts for someone like you, Danita, that, you know, you have experience doing this.
Absolutely.
And you know
the
types of language that reviewers want to see in those narratives.
Yes.
Without giving away your trade secrets.
Oh, no secrets.
We don't want to give away trade secrets here, but how much weight do you think reviewers give to narratives?
I think they give a lot of weight to the narratives. It's okay to be compliant, but if you can't express, you know, how your business will, you know, impact the community and as well as your own impact, you know, for the success of your business. And if you're not going to be able to create jobs and kind of tell what that story is, then, you know.
As long as they're realistic.
As long as they're realistic, yes.
I'm going to create 10,000 jobs.
No.
So a realistic but compelling narrative.
Yes, yes.
Okay. So let's talk a minute about C's Community Partners.
Yes.
This is your business,
yes,
your organization.
Business. Yes.
So tell me about the organization as a whole. You do more than just grant applications.
Yes, more than grant applications. Kind of support services for businesses, business plan, strategic planning, and developing a marketing plan, and technology. We have an exciting new app coming out for a particular demographic. And it's a business directory. And so we have the technology piece about what C's does, and not only the business grants, but grants for nonprofits. We do that as well. And so kind of support services. And I like to say that, you know, we provide an innovative approach to business, community, and government and the solutions that we provide.
Nice. Very nice. And that business has been around for a while now, since 2011?
Yes, since 2011.
If listeners want to get in touch with you, to hire you for their services or for grant applications or any of the other business services that you offer, how are they going to find you?
They will find me at www.cspartners.com or 202-669-6567.
That's C's, S-E-A-S, partners, with an S, partners,
yes.
Plural,
yes.
.com. Great. Any social media?
We do, but we are holding off for some exciting things that we're doing.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's they're all coming out at the same time.
All right. So you're going to come back and talk about that, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Sounds good. Danita, thank you so much for joining us today. I'm sure that I will see much more of you on Rhode Island Avenue.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Thank you. Bye. Hey, and now it's time to check in with Philip from Good Food Market. Philip, how you doing today?
Good, Kyle. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Well, what is new at the market? And I have to tell you that I've already gotten two of those pints of lemon chiffon ice cream. I think I got the last two. So thanks for the heads up on that.
Oh, you're very welcome. You know, we're just seeing more of the local produce coming through, and I hope I get to sound like a broken record about that for a few weeks here. The next one is purple asparagus is coming in this week. This is raised out in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, and brought into D.C. by Eric Smucker from Smucker Farms, where we get a ton of our local produce during the season. All of our apples came from him. Those are organically managed, no wax, no spray, no synthetic fertilizers, just really great products grown by farmers who really care about their land.
Mm. So purple asparagus, what are there some additional health benefits from that, or is it purely cosmetic?
No, there actually are. It is higher in antioxidants and therefore flavor. So the flavor from foods often comes from the vitamins and minerals that that are contained therein. So the purple asparagus is actually higher in certain nutrients, which is great because it also makes it taste better.
Yeah, yeah. So when can we expect some tomatoes, some fresh-grown local tomatoes coming in?
Well, they're starting to come in from closer and closer to us, which is good. And tomato plants are starting to bear fruit right now. They're still green. And last I heard was probably about 4 to 6 weeks for the best ones coming through from, like, right here in D.C. But, you know, we'll have to see how the weather plays out and a bunch of other things.
Yeah, as we're taping this today, it is, I don't know, shockingly cool, I think. And I know tomatoes require some hotter weather to set. So, I just see this weather. I take it personally as it is delaying my tomato gratification.
It's great for the greens, though. You know, collards, kale, the heartier stuff does just fine in weather like this. The rain's good for it. It'll get the sun over the next couple days, and really that spurs on a lot. So, yeah, it may push tomatoes back a day or two, but those greens are going to love it. And those root vegetables, too.
You got something coming up at the community gardens yet?
The next event we're doing at the community garden is going to be our table cooking class. That's Tuesday, May 17th. So we'll, you know, start out at the garden, do some weeding, watering, harvesting. Larry Jr. from Chaos Gym is going to do a little fitness lesson as we move through Langdon Park to the Woodridge Library, where we'll do the cooking class.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I'm really excited about that. And, on Sunday, May 8th at 2 p.m., also at the Woodridge Public Library, we're launching, a series of programming we're calling Edible Books. And this first one is The Very Hungry Caterpillar. So, I'm sure all of our listeners, especially those with kids, are familiar with this book, have it sitting in front of them or on the bookshelf, what have you. And so two Food Corps service members, and Food Corps is an offshoot of AmeriCorps. And these are recent college grads who are into urban agriculture and education, and they run community gardens at mostly elementary and middle schools. Working with youth to understand the connection between diet, health, nutrition, and agriculture. And so they're leading the class. So they'll read the book. We'll try all the things the caterpillar tries and talk about why they're good or maybe why we need to be careful about how much of them we eat. Caterpillar gets into some cake and whatnot. So
what's wrong with cake? Wait a minute. What's wrong with cake?
Nothing's wrong with cake. And that's actually an important lesson. I mean, it's like, yes, have a piece of cake, have a scoop of ice cream, you know, enjoy yourself and sweets, but, you know, in moderation. Don't eat that to fill up and then have some broccoli as a little snack. You know what I mean? And you know, it's about having, you know, kind of sneaking these important habit-forming messages into something that's fun and get kids thinking about food.
Good advice all the way around, Philip. Although I go a little hit too heavy on the cake. It's very apparent, but it's good advice. Good advice. So thanks for the healthy foods update. Any, speaking of cake, any new, grab and go products that we want to talk about?
The next grab and go products that we'll have, in the prepared case, will be, Bruges and beer. They're a Dutch-inspired, American-made, D.C.-based prepared food company, and they do a great line of salads and sandwiches. So we're going to add them to the mix of DCCK and Tiny Grocery and More Healthy Living and all the other folks that are there. And we're pretty excited about that. And also maybe some vegan cheesecake coming down the line.
Interesting.
Yeah, we had some recently that you wouldn't believe. It's definitely the best vegan cheesecake I've ever had, and possibly one of the best cheesecakes I've ever had, bar none.
Wow, so, that's very impressive. All right.
Yeah.
We'll look for that.
Absolutely. And yeah, and that's Good Food Markets, 2006 Rhode Island Avenue. We're at www.goodfoodmarkets.com, at Good Food DC, or give us a call the old-fashioned way, 202-248-8494.
Great. Thank you so much, Philip.
Thank you, Kyle. Take care now.
Talk to you next week. Okay, so our next guest today is June Mines from the optician group These Eyes of Minds. Welcome, June.
Thank you, Kyle. Thank you for allowing me to be here. It's a pleasure. Good morning.
Thrilled to have you. So Michelle is going to really hate that she missed seeing you here. She is, she's all about classes. And you have a how many year business of boutique?
Actually, 21 years, but in the business in total, 33 years. Doing it a long time, Kyle.
These Eyes of Mine.
Yes.
They are a high-end boutique, mm-hmm. Frames for glasses.
Yes.
I know several people that have your frames, and they are sharp looking. The ones that you wore in today are sharp looking.
Thank you very much. I keep them coming.
So June, the reason why we have you on here is to pressure you.
No. So early in the morning, Kyle.
So early in the morning. So June is a life. You are a lifelong resident of the neighborhood here.
Born and raised.
And you've had your business out of your home for a long time.
Yes.
And we chatted a while back about you bringing a business, mm-hmm. your business, to Rhode Island Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're talking seriously about it.
Yeah, we are. And I am looking forward to it, actually, because who better to have a business on Rhode Island than myself? Not to toot my own horn, but boop, boop. You know, I watched this area grow, but I've also watched it go through stagnation, where it has been the same for many, many years. This is the neighborhood that I grew up in. I played on Rhode Island Avenue, and my mom and dad had all of their friends that owned businesses back in the day, and I'm talking, you know, I'm talking 70s, you know, even late 60s. And the neighborhood has gone through a major transformation, and it's nice to see what's happening for Rhode Island Avenue, and I would love to be a part of it.
Well, we would love to have you be a part mm-hmm. of it. Like I said, your frames are spectacular.
Thank you.
And how did you get into this line of work?
You know, I get that question all the time, and it's a very simple thing. I was led to this profession. It wasn't something that I said, oh, let me wake up and become an optician today. I started off in Atlanta, actually, back in the 80s, and I had moved down to finish school, and there was a opportunity for me to work in a lab grinding lenses. And it was a family-owned business, and I'm all about family, come from a large family myself. So I started working in the lab, actually grinding lenses and filling prescriptions, and went on from there and worked many, many opticals. I've worked Lens Crafters, Pearl, America's Best. I've worked them all up until working in Tacoma Park for a private optometrist for about 5 years, and then started working for myself. So I was kind of led in the field. It's a great place to be. People always need to see.
Yes, they do. So you are a licensed optician.
Yes.
And what services, when you open your business mm-hmm. on Rhode Island Avenue, because mm-hmm. now you're kind of committed to do that.
Oh, I know.
when you do that,
uh-huh.
What types of services will you be offering?
Well, now, whether we have an actual doctor, as the present moment, I don't have a doctor, so people actually bring their prescriptions to me. Mm-hmm. And when they bring their prescriptions, I actually had a lab set up where I was actually grinding my own lenses. I recently sold my lab about 3 years ago, so I outsource my work. So basically, you would bring your prescription in, and then I would find the perfect frame for your face and your style and who you are and what you're looking for. And then we process the order, which usually takes a week, and then you come back to pick them up.
Nice.
So I would bring that, but I think I would also try and see if I could work with a optometrist. I work close with the optometrist, but she has her own practice, and mm-hmm. we're just not in the same location. But it's always good to have an in-house doctor.
Sure.
Where you can come in and get the full service.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that would be incredibly
good. Absolutely.
So your frames are all very unique. Mm-hmm. And
one of a kind, actually.
Really?
We do one of each.
Really?
One of each.
So, and Do you design these, or you buy these from how do you get these?
I actually handpick from all over the world. A lot of the frames are handmade, Australia or Canada or Germany, and I'm in the process of designing. So I will have a design coming out soon, but right now we handpick, and we do one of a kind so that people can have their own style. The business was based on, you know, coming in and finding something unique and having exclusivity so that people could come in and find something that you don't find in most opticals.
Yeah, so they're not going to walk down the street and see a dozen other people wearing the same frame.
No, not at all.
So these are more than obviously something to see with. They are fashion statements.
Absolutely. I think we all still strive for, you know, our own identity. And, you know, sometimes the eye is where we meet people in terms of fashion. I think that eyeglasses are pretty much the first thing you see when you look at someone. Mm-hmm. You look at their face, you see their glasses right away. Right, so right. I would not want someone to walk out and have something that's crazy on their face. So I pay a lot of attention to making sure I find the perfect frame for you.
Well, I gotta say, I will be visiting you. I've gotten contacts all of my life because I can't ever find frames that I think don't make me look like Mr. Sherman and Peabody.
Well, see, now you've met me. You've met me now. So now I'm committing you as well.
All right. I'll be there. Okay. So I'm assuming. I know you do for men and women. Because I've seen
men, women, children.
Right.
Yep.
What about the lens types? You know, the progressive lenses.
One of the things that's important is when people come in. Not only are we finding frames, but we're educating as well. People really don't know what type of lens. When they go and get an eye exam, they're told what they need, but they don't necessarily know the type of lens that they need. And so when people come in, I'm making sure that I can educate you to let you know what would be best for you, for what you're doing. Some people working at an intermediate range and not realize it. They think, oh, I need reading glasses, but they're working at an intermediate range. And so making sure that I educate them as to what type of lens, why, how it's going to work for you, what to expect. Those are the kinds of things that I go over with people, and I spend a lot of time doing that because it's important for us to know what we're wearing. Mm-hmm. And how it's affecting us.
Yeah.
And then you have the part where it's kind of holistic versus westernized. You know, if you start wearing glasses, obviously you're going to depend on eyeglasses. So, you know, I educate people from both perspectives so that they know here's what to expect when you start wearing your glasses. Yeah.
Okay. All right. You know, people are going to be excited to hear about this.
Absolutely.
So what do you think your timeline is going to look like?
Well, I'm looking forward to coming in by the end of the year, or hopefully by this year, before the year ends. I think things are being snatched up on Rhode Island Avenue as I see it. And so I definitely would like to get in, and having a storefront would take me to the next level, and having the visibility and all of my business has been through word of mouth, which is very powerful. It's a very powerful tool to have.
Sure.
But actually having the visibility and having a storefront street level would be really great. So I'm looking forward to being an expansion for Rhode Island Avenue corridor. Again, this is my neighborhood. This is where I was raised. It feels right. It makes sense. And so I'm looking to join your team.
We like it. like it a lot. Meryl, my wife, will be one of your first customers
yes,
over there too.
Yes, I love Meryl.
she's always looking at different lens frames. So they are definitely fashion for her.
Oh, good.
So, you know, you were mentioning these being one of a kind and getting them from all over the world. Mm-hmm. How do you find them? Do you, like, get on a plane and go to Australia?
Yeah, well, we do. And we also have different, we have vision conferences. We just finished up one in New York at the Jacob Javits Center. They come from all over the world to Jacob Javits Center. It's easier for me to be on this end of town to drive 4 hours opposed to getting on a plane and flying to Australia.
That's so much more fun.
Yeah, well, we have 4 year. We have one in New York, one in Vegas, one in Milan, one in Paris. Mm. And so, again, it's easier and cheaper, more cost effective for us to do, if we're here in the U.S., to do the ones in the U.S.
Sure.
And they're the bigger ones anyway. So that's right now, that's how I connect with all of my designers.
Do frame fashions, and I'm going to embarrass myself with
my
lack of fashion knowledge here, but it seems like, you know, like clothing fashion is kind of cyclical.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, bell bottoms in the 70s and back again in the 90s. Do you see the same trends for?
Yeah. Remember once upon a time we had these little tiny frames, and I don't know how we were able to see out of them because we actually had progressive lenses. Now the frames are larger. So they've come back with the larger frames. And I think they're going to stick around for a while this time. But we go through the same thing with eyewear. We could be on cat eye. We could be on thick, bold, Buddy Holly. We could go from that to, you know, thin and petite. We can go from that to, colorful and powerful. So frames go through the same as clothes. They change. The styles change. And
yeah, this is everybody's permission to change your frames on an annual basis.
Well, and some people don't need that. Some people just come in because they love eyewear and they're addicted like they would shoes or purses or anything else. So
you've all been warned.
Yes, you have. That was a warning.
Okay. The new clothing accessory obsession.
Yes.
For
yes.
Folks. Okay. So, we will keep everybody updated on your move-in status.
Yes, I'm looking forward.
If people want to find out more about you now
and
maybe start shopping for frames now,
yes.
How are they going to find you?
Well, actually, they could call for an appointment. My number is 202-269-0624. The website is being redone because we want now people to be able to order online.
Oh, okay.
Before, it was just a gallery. So now we are redoing the website so that now it's e-commerce and people can actually order, because there are people calling me from different cities and want to see the frames. And so this will allow them to actually go in and order the frame offline.
Wait. So you got people from other cities?
Absolutely. I'm all over the place. I'm not just here in D.C. I'm in Chicago. I'm in Atlanta. I'm in New York.
Wow. So. And Rhode Island Avenue is going to get your brick and mortar.
It'll be the first. See, I have to give my home the first option. See, I actually want to open up stores in other cities, but Rhode Island Avenue is going to be the first option. So
this is where the legend begins.
That's
right here.
Where it begins. Absolutely.
I like it.
Yes.
All right. June Mines of These Eyes of Mines. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for joining
us today. Thank you, Cal, for having me. It's a pleasure.
Everybody, just save your money now. You're going to be shopping for frames soon. We'll see you on Rhode Island Avenue.
Take care.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of Rhode Island Avenue Radio. We will see you next week.